And welcome to Slackerwood Podcast number 7. Yes, we're back. We're really doing it. And today I have not only Chris Holland, but Jen Brown with me, and we're going to talk about Star Wars and
Star Trek.
Oh my God.
We're going to talk about Star Trek, Star Wars 2. We're going to talk about Star Wars.
We're going to talk about that science fiction thing, and we're going to talk about that South by Southwest thing, and various other Austin-related stuff, and let's do it. What's going on in the news? We usually start with news here, so what's going on newsworthy in Austin? And I think the big movie-related news this week is actually the proposed bandwidth cap that Time Warner is telling us they may be rolling out in Austin this fall.
They're telling us they will be rolling out this fall. I don't remember what the other target areas are, but I know Austin's one of them. There are a couple of others where they're basically... Yeah. You will pay for X number of gigabytes. You'll get a certain speed based on which tier you're in. So your download and upload speeds will be affected by how much you pay for upfront. And then you'll pay $1 a gigabyte thereafter until you hit 150 gigabytes, at which point you have unlimited. So at $150, you have unlimited as opposed to the $45 I pay now.
Yeah. And what does this have to do with movies, you might ask, which is that the people who are going to be hit hardest by this are people who are watching video online.
And or downloading.
Or downloading.
I mean, Amazon VOD, iTunes, and the ever popular but not so well looked upon BitTorrent are all download services. And there's a certain, especially with BitTorrent, where you're basically forced to upload while you download, there's a considerable amount of bandwidth that happens both ways when you're doing that. So,
I believe that I had read earlier this week that an hour of streaming video can be about a gigabyte. So figure it out. You get 40 gigs a month. That's 20 movies, maybe, if you stream them, if you're probably possibly more if you're downloading.
If you're downloading a television episode, they're pretty well compressed. They're, I would say, roughly 500 megabytes, so half a gigabyte. So 50 cents for a television show. And I'll admit I'm not the most informed on this subject, but it seems to me that, like, this is Time Warner's way of fighting back against people like me who cancel their extended cable and end up watching these shows on BitTorrent or Hulu or whatever. And I can see their point to that extent, but they are not the originators of that content in most cases. And so, you know, why I should pay more for their pipe to get other people's stuff in is kind of beyond me. I'm sure somebody from Time Warner could educate me.
Well, if they ever get them to do that, I'd like to know why my DVR is always failing. So I end up watching things online because my DVR that I pay extra money for to Time Warner doesn't work well.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh,
so basically their service that I'm paying for isn't working, but they want me to pay more money if I stream it?
Yeah, I'm TiVo born and bred. I've had a TiVo since 99. And, the experience on a TiVo is just that much better. But I will never, ever go with a cable DVR. They're just so bad. For the reasons that I've never had, short of power failure, I've never had a TiVo fail to record something that it was supposed to record.
I have to reset my cable box at least once a week.
Yeah. That's the reason that I don't get digital cable either, is that, you know, with analog cable, I can just plug it into my TiVo and I know it's going to work. With digital, I have to set up an extra little remote box that, mm-hmm. you know, talks to the digital box, and, you know, just a whole host of reasons why cable companies are evil and wrong and dumb. but what I would like to hear is maybe we can get your husband, Jet, to weigh in on this at some point, is what are the two sides of this? You know, what I think, you know, Time Warner would tell us it's because, you know, they can't sustain their business model they can't sustain as a company if people are going to abandon them as an entertainment provider.
Well, and but yet that is,
up their usage on the internet side.
That's not the argument we're hearing, though. We're hearing that they want, the argument that I have heard so far is that they want people to, they want fair and equitable rates, that you shouldn't be, if you're, it's like dining out with somebody else and you order the steak and they order the salad. It's not fair that you should split the bill down the middle. And that they feel that for many customers in Austin, their rates will go down because they don't use 40 gigs a month. They're not using this kind of thing. There's a plan that's like 1 gig a month.
Right.
But early adopters and high-tech geeks in Austin are not using 1 gig a month.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. This is not the right market for this.
There's no doubt that overall Time Warner's rates will go up, you know, because people will buy more than they need just against the possibility of the overage. It's like buying the unlimited text plan because you know you do a lot of texts, but maybe you don't know exactly how many. Mm-hmm. Like AT&T has the 1,000 texts a month plan and the unlimited texts a month plan. And I do the unlimited because, you know, I know there are those times when I'm going to do over 1,000 and I don't want to start paying, you know, by the text. But I'm sure like 11 months out of 12, they're getting that extra 10 bucks out of me for nothing. So Time Warner, I'm sure, has this figured out. The counter argument to, you know, the dinner argument, the, you know, why should both people pay the same thing when one person gets soup and one person gets, you know, a steak, is that, you know, that's the way our taxes work. There are people who pay 25 times the amount of tax that other people work. And of course they're subsidizing the other people, but, you know, I mean, they have that ability to do so. It doesn't mean that borrow a phrase from Aaron Sorkin, that the fire department gets to their house 25 times faster or the water's 25 times hotter when it comes out of the tap. It's just, that's the way it works sometimes. And that's the way, you keep a system sort of equitable.
And isn't there already another plan that Time Warner has for slower bandwidth? Kind of a internet access that isn't as fast as the standard broadband package that they have?
I know they have like a turbo plan, more. And I know they have a price lock plan. But I'm not sure honestly, it's been so long since I've looked at the plans that they offer.
So if you want to keep up with the issue about what's going to happen with Austin Bandwidth and Time Warner, I want to point you at a website called austinbandwidth.info. In the interest of full disclaimer, my husband has made this website. And it has lots of resources on how this all works. There is a table on the levels that we have now of service from Time Warner and what they are proposing. And they are keeping it updated with information about what Time Warner is saying and what other cities are doing about the issue, because they're not happy either.
Cool. Well, let's move on to the other big piece of news that neither you nor I, Jet, were a part of, but Jen here was.
Yeah, we missed the Star Trek screening, because we did. And we didn't go see Star Trek II Wrath of Khan, where they sneakily pulled it out and showed the upcoming new Star Trek movie instead. But Jen was there.
We knew something was up when some of us got there early. If you have a badge for Fantastic Fest, you get special notices of Alamo events, usually related to Fantastic Fest and Ain't It Cool News. And they had the special free screening of Wrath of Khan so they could show 10 minutes of the original Star Trek. Well, about a dozen security people come in, so we knew something was up. Mm-hmm. And then when we were finally seating, press had individual personalized seats assigned, which I've never seen before. And then when Harry Knowles was introducing the film with Tim Leigh from the Alamo, and we had the producer and the two writers there. So something had to be up, because it's premiering in Australia a few hours later. So we only get about 2 minutes of Star Trek Wrath of Khan before the screen bubbles, and it was a bad print. So the second you saw that the print was so bad, you knew something was up. Lights come up. Tim yells he's going to go fix it. And then Leonard Nimoy comes out on the stage and says, "Wouldn't you rather watch this?" So it was a very good screening. purists would be unhappy only because purists are going to want it to stay the original people and the original story, but they do a really good job of the reset. The characters are a little different. Their storylines are a little different. So without saying spoilers, I think there's something for newbies to the Star Trek universe, as well as people who are familiar with different parts of the franchise. It's a really different take on it. And you
so
can
this
nitpick
kind of an
it, but it's
origin
a lot of fun.
Story kind of thing?
Yeah, but it's a real reset, literally.
Yeah, I had heard that they changed some things. Somebody told me I should go read such and such comic book and it would all be explained to me, but I'm not going to do that.
That's yeah, I'm not that big of a Star Trek fan, but I remember growing up seeing a lot of the old original series on TV on Saturdays or off of primetime. So I'm familiar enough with the stories and grew up loving the characters. And like most girls, I had a crush on Kirk, loved Uhura, and she's very different in this.
Oh, good. Well, I mean, I like the original, but I would like to see something different.
Well, the one tease I can say about Uhura is she seems to be based on that one quote when someone says, "I'll save you, fair maiden," and her response is, "Sorry, neither." That to me seems like her origin for this timeline. But the CGI is great. Some people complain that the CGI, some people who didn't see it, complain that the CGI would overwhelm the story, but I thought it worked really well.
And there's Simon Pegg.
And Simon Pegg is in it. The big complaint about him is he didn't show up till very late in the film.
Oh.
But it worked.
Okay.
He stole every scene, and Carl Urban, who a lot of people had issues with, Carl Urban was fantastic as Bones.
Okay.
He completely owns it. All their roles honor the original characters and actors, but they completely make them their own. So I think a lot of people are going to be seeing this movie this summer and enjoying it.
Good.
And people who hadn't seen Star Trek at all before really liked it. So
that's good to know, because I'm not a big Star Trek person.
I think most but people will.
I know people who are.
When's it due out? Early May?
May 9th, I think.
Okay. Cool.
I meant to bring in my little Star Trek cap, but I didn't have the date on it.
Early May.
Early
we
May.
All, yeah, I'm sure we will all know the date by the time it gets here. I am sure they will be promoting it to the
and
sky.
And that is playing at the IMAX, too. So if you want to see it really overwhelmingly huge.
That might be a little overwhelming. Well, cool. We'll keep an eye out for that. And in the meantime, we're going to talk about movies we've already seen from South by Southwest. Yes, we are still talking about South by Southwest, and we'll probably do so for some time to come, because I had a really fabulous time this year, and I don't want to stop talking about it just because it is over.
And we've got three of the films that played South by Southwest have just gotten national release in the past few weeks, so it's still pertinent.
That's true. Observe and Report just opened, and I Love You, Man, and...
Adventureland.
Adventureland, thank you. So, South By. What was your favorite movie, Jen?
What it's a tie between The Square, which played opposite of... Let's try that again. It played opposite of Observe and Report, so that's why I went to see it, because I always find that the smaller films playing opposite play just the once... And it was a really fun experience. It was all about consequences. Whatever you do, there's going to be a consequence to it. And this couple are having an affair, and they decide they're going to try to run away. Well, it's not ever so simple. But the dark humor in it completely made the film. Because the director, Nash Edgerton, a brother to Joel Edgerton, an actor who's getting more and more notice in different films, he plays... with expectations, so you're all set up for something to happen, and it completely turns it on its ear, but in a way that makes complete sense. And it was one of the most talked about films for those of us who've seen it. And the rest of you just missed
now
out.
I'm feeling sorry I missed it.
Well, I know that Pathé picked it up. I don't know when it's getting released, but they do have distribution, or someone owns it. Whether or not it's going to get distributed, I don't know. But hopefully more people will see it.
Good. What was the other narrative. One? You said it was a tie.
Well, that's my favorite narrative. Uh-huh. Well, my second favorite narrative. Well, it's so hard to choose. The program was so strong this year. I think my other favorite narrative was My Suicide, which was so completely different from what you'd expect from most films. It was very kinetic and all about the mindset of a high school student who says in class he's going to do his video project on killing himself. And it's very emotional but funny. But you're basically getting inside his head as he's reacting to things and people around him freaking out over him saying he's going to commit suicide. And I'm really surprised it doesn't have distribution yet.
I am too. A lot of people have been talking about that movie. I wonder if we won't hear more about it.
I'm hoping we will. I'm keeping an eye on my website, but I haven't heard anything yet.
So, Chris.
I actually didn't like my suicide.
Really?
I thought it was terrible. I should mitigate this. I mean, because, yeah, I thought it was terrible. I thought it was self-indulgent. I thought it was poorly made. I thought the plot had holes in it. You could drive a Mack truck through. And I just didn't like anybody in the movie.
Really?
There was not a single likable character in that movie, except for the mom, who was funny a couple times. But even she wasn't that likable most of the time. And I thought the movie references constantly reminded me that I could be watching a movie that was better than this one.
Oh.
And the special effects, you know, completely pulled me out of any sentiment that I might have felt for the movie.
Huh.
I found it impossible to identify with anybody, least of all the main character, because he was so internally ugly. He just really had nothing to offer anybody, and I just really didn't get into the movie at all. It was literally, if someone hadn't asked me to go watch it in its entirety, I would have walked out. So I can't get behind my suicide. I've been holding my peace on that movie publicly for a while. Feels good to let go. Can't like every movie. Favorite movies at South by Southwest. Artois the Goat.
Oh, can we talk about Artois the Goat? Because
yeah.
It was so cute.
Oh, what a great movie.
I really like that. And part of it was shot at San Francisco Bakery by my house, which
yeah.
where we love to eat. So.
You can see the Alamo Drafthouse Village in the background, which was shot all entirely in the Central Texas area. So a lot of shooting
yeah.
in Bastrop and quite a few places around town.
That was just a cute movie.
And everybody who worked on it is local, just about.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that we'll all get to a chance to see it again. Since it's local, I would be surprised if we did.
It'll get another Austin screening. I
yeah.
have no idea what's going to happen with it. Distribution-wise, I think it's a hard one to nail down. But, you know, it should get picked up by some classics or something like that. Because it deserves that kind of exposure. Whether it'll get it or not in this market, I don't know. I don't know.
It's beautifully shot.
Yes,
just very,
it is.
Very
and
vibrant colors.
Yeah, all those meadows and Central Texas stuff. And Alamo did an Artois the Goat cheese plate.
Which I know you tried. How was that?
It was really good. Except that I have to say it's really hard to eat a cheese plate in the dark in the theater. That I, especially if you're sitting on the couches.
True.
So it was really good, but you need to have your special movie theater eating skills with you for that one. I'm trying to think of some of the other stuff.
Winnebago Man.
I missed Winnebago Man, and I am so sorry I did.
Great movie.
That's on my list of movies that I wish I'd seen.
Yes.
Yeah. So I saw We Live in Public, which I don't know either of you two saw.
I didn't see that,
no,
but that was
that.
On my list of things I'd hoped I'd see, but didn't.
We Live in Public and Winnebago Man are pretty much the same movie.
Oh, really?
In terms of the exploration of the internet exposing your worst moments to the world and how you deal with that. But the guy in Winnebago Man is actually interesting. You know, he didn't intentionally do this to himself. It just happened. And he's actually an interesting person. And, you know, he comes to terms with it in his own way. Whereas the guy in We Live in Public does it to himself, is not interesting or likable, and absolutely cannot. I mean, at the end of the movie, I'm not giving too much away. This guy's sequestered himself in Kenya, somewhere in Africa, to escape the IRS, basically. And he just absolutely has not come to terms with anything about the internet and the, you know, the way he has exposed himself publicly. So for me, Winnebago Man was definitely the better movie. And it hopefully that one will get distribution for sure.
Also really like David Lowery's movie Saint Nick, which is going to be very small and probably not get distribution, but looked really beautiful in the theater and was really sweet, and I hope I'll get a chance to see that again. Yeah, it's slow, and there's not a lot of dialogue, but I must have been in just the right mood at just the right time, because I really liked it.
I mostly liked it, but the motivation behind basically the story,
yeah,
I wasn't finding anything there, and it really kind of bothered me at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But up until that point, it was one of those movies I was completely willing to give over and experience the film and see what happens. And it was just the last few moments that bothered me the most, because it didn't.
I kind of like that there was no big reveal there, but I can see where that would be.
I wasn't so much expecting a reveal, but I had problems with the motivation of the boy's final actions.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That really bothered me.
Before this gets a little too inside baseball, we should say...
That thing! That we're not going to tell you!
Well, we should say that it's basically about two kids who are on their own and
yeah.
trying to find their way in the world independently of their parents for one reason or another. And it's a very emotional film. It can be a very disturbing film. You know, there's not a whole lot to laugh at. And as I recall, there wasn't much in the way of music either. It's...
No.
A lot of natural sound and a lot of atmosphere to it. And yeah, it can be very disturbing. I want to see the next thing David Lowery puts out. I'm not champing at the bit to see this one again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of my test for a movie. Artois the Goat, and we didn't really touch on Artois the Goat's plot either. Probably should.
Boy loses girl, boy gets...
It's a romantic comedy about making cheese and making love. And it was kind of in that cutesy sort of faux world that mm-hmm. those romantic comedies live in, where nothing is that serious.
Yeah.
But it was still charming. And then Winnebago Man was about... just go to YouTube and... put in Winnebago Man or Angriest Man on the Planet, and you'll see what it's about. Anything else?
S-Force movie was kind of nice. I actually had wished it would have been a little shorter, but
I wish it had been like way shorter.
But you got to see old Alamo in it, so it was like, oh
yeah, okay.
I figured that one's gonna screen again some point in town. So
you think
it was on my. Let's see that one later. There's just too many good
absolutely.
Films.
Absolutely.
The program was just so strong this year.
It was full of Alamo, so I'm sure Alamo will be showing it with Troll 2 at some point. It's about the people who like Troll 2 and why. I haven't seen Troll 2, so I can't speak for that myself.
I've only seen clips, and I would have to be really drunk to see that, and I'm not much of a drinker, so... I'd be pushed to the test for that one.
The Least of These, which you and I both saw,
yes.
which is quite good and is playing here again. You can go watch it right now. Go on snagfilms.com and type in The Least of These, and you can watch this great documentary that's not funny at all.
It's very topical. It's very local. And it's becoming important again because it's basically about the Hutto Family Detention Center in Taylor, Texas, and there was arbitration about the conditions there that are running out. The arbitration ruling is running out in August, so it's locally very relevant. So besides the fact that it was a very good story and one that needed to be told, it's very relevant to the Austin area. So highly recommend The Least of These. And it's playing at Cine Las Americas at some point... And during that festival, I don't think the dates have been released yet. At least Marcy Garriott, who's the producer, wasn't aware of it as of yesterday.
But keep an eye out for that, because that movie is nice to see in the theater.
Yes. That's one you're going to want to talk about afterwards.
And there are probably about 20 other movies we could be talking about. I'm sitting here going, you missed Beeswaxed! And you missed Drag Me to Hell! And how can we not talk about Drag Me to Hell? But we're going to be writing about all of these, so keep an eye out. And overall, I think it was a great festival this year. I love the shuttle buses. I wish they would run the whole time.
Yes.
When did they stop?
They stopped
when started.
When the film conference stopped, they stopped. Mm. I would love to see them running the whole week. The only problem was that people were parking their car at South Lamar and then just taking the shuttle to go everywhere the whole day. So the Alamo South Lamar parking lot was packed.
Really?
And overflowing into the neighborhood. So that's probably something to watch out for next year. But all in all, just very good South by Southwest experience this year. Didn't get sick. Had a good time.
I started it with sleep deprivation, which just got worse by day two. And the fact that I was able to make it through the entire festival is just, I'm still astounded, and I'm still trying to catch up on my sleep. But I could also blame that on Star Trek. So.
Blame that on everything.
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, keep an eye on the website, because we are not done writing about South by Southwest, and we will be putting out some reviews and some more stuff. And as these movies get distribution and start playing, we will be telling you about that too. I'd like to finish up with everybody talking about stuff that they would like to recommend that's playing in Austin the next week. Cool stuff coming up. Jen, tell everybody how much you loved Observe and Report.
Chris and I apparently have very different movie tastes, because I really didn't enjoy it. I didn't hate it, but I didn't really like it. But
thought it was brilliant. Great movie. Very courageous.
See, the fact that everybody is so divided and so passionate about this, I feel like
you have to go see it.
I really need to see this movie. Some of the other interesting things in Austin this week is Weird Wednesday is showing Son of Blob, which Chris has told me I really should be going to see.
Well, I mean, number one, it's a sequel to the movie The Blob. You know, everybody knows The Blob. But number two, it's just full of all of Larry Hagman's friends. Larry Hagman, JR, of course, of Dallas, directed it. And so it's got Dick Van Patten in it. It's got, who else has got? It's got Burgess Meredith in it. It's got Cindy Williams in it. It's got Bud Cort. It's just chock full of people. Plus, the blob eats a dude in a wheelchair, which is just awesome. And what I love about the dude in the wheelchair is that he holds up this cross. Like he completely has his movie monsters mixed up. You know, like, that's for vampires, dude. And crucifix is not going to help you when it comes to the alien blob. But he tries anyway. Oh, dear.
Okay, so I should be staying up late and seeing
You should this. Definitely I see really this should. Movie. Yeah, yeah, it's well worth seeing. And I'm pretty sure Hagman and everybody else, they were doing a lot of drugs while they were making this movie. Because it's really kind of out there.
You know, it's funny, it went to Texas Film Hall of Fame, and Larry Hagman got an award and was inducted, and they showed many clips from films from his career, and I don't think they showed any from Son of Blob. Cannot imagine why.
I don't know. God, I reviewed that 9 years ago. How about that?
Wow. Another completely weird and strange must-see film is Alamo Lake Creek is showing Skidoo, Otto Preminger. I think that's Otto Preminger's last film. I believe it's also Groucho Marx's last film.
Yes.
I can't remember. It's the one where all the opening credits are sung, and it is bizarre, and it's playing Thursday at 10 o'clock.
I've never actually managed to lay eyes on it, but it's one of those things that I've been trying to see for the last decade, and it's apparently really, really trippy.
Wow.
So if really, really trippy sounds up your alley, get thee to the screening.
Excellent. Last thing is Screen Door Film is back doing their Texas Cinema Series at St. Edward's, which is excellent, and you should go, and it's free. And this month they are showing At the Death House Door, Steve James's film.
Played South By last year.
That's right.
Yes.
They're showing it Friday night at St. Ed's Jones's Auditorium. It's free, and they have a panel of people who will be talking about the movie, and you should go to Screen Door Film's website and see who they are, because I don't have that written down.
That's actually one of the best edited docs I've seen in a few years. Yeah, just, well, number one, the main character has been recording sort of his thoughts and feelings on being the warden on death row for the last however many 30 years or whatever. He has all these cassette tapes of his life. So that it's this incredible archive of things to go from. But it's edited in such a way that it doesn't give away too much before you need to know it. It doles things out at exactly the right moment. And, you know, there are a few surprises in there that you probably aren't going to see coming. But even if you do kind of figure that they are coming, you don't get too much information too soon. So it's really, really nicely done.
Oh, good. I'm hoping we go. And that's Friday. Again, that's Friday night. And check Screen Door Films website for all the info on that.
Yes, indeed.
And check our website because we are publishing all kinds of good stuff about upcoming screenings. Turk Pipkin's One Piece at a Time on Tuesday. Cine Las Americas, Salvaged Vanguard Theater is doing some Texas films and lots of other good stuff. So go to slackerwood.com and read all about it.
Cool.
You have been listening to the Slackerwood Podcast. I'm Jet Kernian.
I'm Chris Holland.
And I'm Jen Brown.
Bye.